This podcast is brought to you by the World Apostolate to Fatima USA, a public association of the faithful devoted to spreading the authentic message of Fatima.
Hello, my name is Barb Ernster. I'm here with Father Francisco Pereira, chaplain of the Shrine of Fatima in Portugal. He's here on sabbatical in the United States. He's staying with us at the National Blue Army Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Washington, New Jersey. So, Father, welcome. How is your trip to the United States going?
Yeah, it's going very good. I have more time to pray now,
yeah,
and to read and to keep studying. So
it's been sure.
Very good days here in the shrine.
I'm sure you needed a break after last year. How many pilgrims actually came to Fatima last year?
We have almost 10 million.
Oh my goodness.
9.5 million. So it was a little bit more than what we expected.
Uh-huh.
But it was a grace of God to be able to receive so many pilgrims, to pray with them, to preach the message of the gospel and message of Fatima that is connected, and to be able to reach so many people who wanted to come to Fatima to connect with God and with Our Lady of Fatima, that she's the Mother of God, and take us by the hand to lead us to our Father, our common Father.
Well, we're so glad you're getting a little bit of a break right now and that you're able to rest in New Jersey at our shrine. It's very quiet and peaceful there. So,
yes, it is.
So I wanted to get into a little bit about your background. You grew up very near to Fatima. Was it in Leiria, Portugal?
Yes, I am from Leiria. It's the head of the diocese. It's about 40 minutes to Fatima, to the Shrine of Fatima. And since I was a kid, we went there for many times a year for the diocesan pilgrimage, for the children's national pilgrimage, for family meetings. So I remember the little chapel with the old cover and the old burning of the candles. So I remember in the 70s to be there with not so many people like mm-hmm. it was today. But already a big, important shrine for the diocese and for our country, for Portugal. And for me, I was growing knowing Our Lady of Fatima, knowing that she is our mother, she helps us, knowing the life of the little shepherds, their prayers and sacrifices, what they did. So I was growing in this knowledge and connection with Our Lady, yeah, and helped me to in my vocation also, this role of Mary as the one who said firstly yes to God in this project of salvation that God has to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Did it resonate with you when you were growing up that just 40 miles away, one of the greatest miracles on earth happened right
yes.
in your area?
Yeah, because we all knew the story of Fatima. We all knew about the miracle of the sun, of all these hundreds of people who went there right from the beginning. So it was a central place in our diocese life of faith. And even in my family, in my life of faith, Fatima was also one center of connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there many times a year to be able to pray and celebrate and be with Mary, our mother.
Did you ever think you would end up being chaplain at the Shrine of Fatima?
No, never. When I went to the seminary and afterwards, I want to be a parish priest to help a community to grow, to celebrate Mass for the people, to be able to grow with them and to be with a small community in a parish. I never thought to go to Fatima. I wanted to preach and to celebrate the sacraments, the Eucharist, the confession especially. And that's what I wanted to do. So it was a surprise when my bishop, Antonio Marto, nominated me as a chaplain of the shrine.
And how long have you been there? No.
Yeah, I'm being there for 10 years, almost 11. So it's
Well, you're in charge of a very big parish that the whole world is interested in. So
that's the interesting thing. That I was finding that here in Fatima, I have new responsibilities. I have a community bigger, but also a little bit more demanding. Which is for me is good because I'm constantly being challenged to grow in my faith, to study. Not only the message of Fatima, because for these 10 years I was discovering always new things, new aspects of the message of Fatima that is need to be relevated. And even in my deep understanding of the message of God, of the gospel that Jesus brought to us, the context of theology that we try to reach the people in their new needs right in this 21st century and being able to help them to grow in faith, in charity, and in hope.
When you meet with the pilgrims and they're coming there, are you finding that the younger ones are receptive to the message of Fatima? And what are some of the things that you find when you're meeting with the pilgrims?
Everybody are receptive to the message of Fatima, especially the young generations that we usually do not look with good eyes because we think that they are superficial and they just want to live in the network scene. But I find that they want to discover more. They want a more a deeper meaning for life, and they are searching. Well, sometimes they are not searching in the right places, but Fatima is when we can present the message of Fatima in a new light and show them that the words that Our Lady told to the little shepherds relates to everyday problems, to every even human situation. So they can relate, and they find that message of Fatima is also a new way to see the world, to see the challenge of their lives, and even to help them to overcome all these difficulties that they are feeling and they are finding.
And are there many that come there and really don't know the story, and then once they hear the story of Fatima, how do they go deeper? Are they interested then in going deeper?
Yes, because, well, almost everybody, the vast majority of the people do not know all the message of Fatima. They know that Our Lady appeared. They know the three children that received the message. But that's it. When we go deep in the message of Fatima, when we go deep in this need of personal conversion, of personal transformation, of a prayerful life to reach this communion with God and to enter in this light that is God who surrounds us and pierces our heart, they find this very, very challenging, but they also want to reach this meaning in their lives, to reach this this more fruitful way to live, beginning with the message of Fatima, that is a way to in a contemporary way to reach the deepness of the gospel.
Now, how does the message of Fatima help you as a priest? You also are named after a great saint now, Saint Francisco Marto. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about how Fatima helps you as a priest, and how does Francisco in particular inspire you?
Well, as a priest and receiving the message of Fatima, he helps me to be a better priest because the prayer life is essential for my life. To pray every day, not only the breviary that is mandated to when we are ordained, but also to have a deeper connection with God and be able to stay in the presence of God every day, to contemplate God like Saint Francis Marto did, for me helps me to find this tranquility and peace of mind that is needed to leave all these challenges of this work that we are living, because in the shrine we are almost always running from one side to the other, because the shrine is big, the places of ministry are a little bit apart, so we are always going to the Basilica of Our Lady of Trinity, the Little Chapel, the Basilica of Our Lady of the Rosary, and meetings and preparations. So I have need to stop and pray. So the help of and the example of Francis Marco helps me to be able to stop and pray to reach this intimacy with God. And then, following the example of Jacinta, to see all the persons that I cross in my daily life as a person which I can help, a person who are asking for something good and ask me for give them, and being a priest, being a minister of the word and of the sacraments, being able to deliver this help to the people is very fruitful. And then I have this example of Saint Jacinta to be always thinking about the others and giving their everyday life for the salvation of the poor sinners. And that's why I think that the message of Fatima is helping me to be a better priest every day.
And you studied technology in Coimbra, where Sister Lucia lived for 57 years at the convent. Yes. Were you aware of her in that town? Were you aware she was there? Did you ever get a chance to go visit the convent and maybe go to mass there? Or?
Well, I was aware that she lived in the convent because we are from... But I never had the opportunity during my studies to go there. Okay. I went there right after my ordination, and I concelebrated in the mass, and she, even when she was really old, but she always had the speakers transmitting the masses that are celebrated in the chapel to herself. So
okay.
Especially when they have a group from Lady Fatima celebrating mass in the convent, she always gave the biggest attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I met her before my ordination, because I was an altar server when Pope St. John Paul II came for the second time to Fatima.
Oh, wow.
In 1991. I was an altar server. I was in the seminary. So I was seated right near Sister Lucia, and that a wonderful thing, because when I went to Fatima to work there as a chaplain, I went to see the office for the canonization of Little Shepherds, and Sister Angela gave me a photo when of Sister Lucia and me right next to her, just with Father Condor between me and Sister Lucia. So for me,
oh my goodness,
it was a very good surprise, because during the mass I was so focused on what we are doing in the mass that I didn't notice that she was right near me. But and that's the only time that I had in the presence of Sister Lucia.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. Really wonderful. We'd like to see a photo of that. We'd like to get a copy of that.
I have the
put
photo
it in our Soul magazine.
in my office, yes.
Yeah. Well, when I was in Fatima last year in November, you gave a catechesis to us pilgrims at our hotel, Domus Pacis, in Fatima.
Yes.
I imagine you do that often for the pilgrims. But
yes.
I found it was very interesting how, now that the centennial is over, what What are you focusing on now? How are you, what is the shrine going to be looking at this year and coming years?
Yes. So, well, these next years, we are especially in this time giving thanks for the grace of Fatima, for the grace of, and the gift that God gave us with the message of Fatima, with the presence of Our Lady, and this message of grace and mercy. So we are trying to develop this message and to keep deepening the meaning, especially because we think that the value of the message of Fatima, the meaning of the message of Fatima, is for everyday life, is forever, not just for 400 years, but it keeps going mm-hmm. and growing and deepening. So now we are giving thanks to God, and next year we are celebrating the centennial of the death of St. Francis Marto, mm-hmm. and the next year the centennial of the death of St. Jacinta Marto. So we have these examples of the little shepherds. Now they are saints, so we can have more freedom to promote and present their holiness as an example for everybody.
Yes.
And that's, I think that the most important thing now is to keep showing their holiness so that the people can learn to live a holy life in the daily matters, not being just an extraordinary person. Well, yes, we can be extraordinary in a normal life. So, and St. Francis, as St. Jacinta shows us, there is not need to found a convent. There is no need to found a new movement. There is no need to go to the TVs and give talks or have. But we can be true saints in our daily lives, taking mm-hmm. care of our business, loving each other, living in a family, praying mm-hmm. the rosary every day, and making small sacrifices for the conversion of the world. So I think mm-hmm. that is the great grace that we have now, these two children, to help us in this growth of the church and of the holiness of the world.
Well, and I think sometimes we don't understand the power of our offerings of these little sacrifices every day. But that was what Lucia said was the essential message of Fatima, was that very first question Our Lady asked on May 13th, are you willing to give yourselves every day and accept what God is going to do yes. in your life? So that is truly, it's a simple message. It doesn't have to be explained, and all of us can do it.
Yes, that's why the message of Fatima is still so strong, because this first question that Our Lady asked Lucia is also what God is asking us every day. Do you want to offer yourselves? And to be a Christian is to offer ourselves for the salvation of the world, to mm-hmm. Be holy. And that's why I think that this new apostolic exhortation of Pope Francis, right after we celebrate the centennial, right after he canonized two small children who live these holy lives in the daily matters, is a good example of what we can continue to do, to mm-hmm. live our holy lives in the daily matters, to pray these simple prayers that Our Lady taught to the children, and be able to change the world with our life.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else you'd want to relay to people on this beautiful message?
Yes, it's this call to change the world, changing ourselves. And I remember that Our Lady asked the little shepherds to build a small chapel in the apparition of August and September. And so God wants us to build this Catholic communion, to build the church, not just the building, but the community, the body of men and women throughout the world. So I think that now is the time to keep building this community, to keep reaching each other, go forth and try to find men and women who have the will to be different than the world proposes, to be more than they are, to go deep in their meaning of the life. So I think the message of Fatima, what Our Lady told to little shepherds and tells us what they lived and teach us to live, is a good way to grow in faith and to grow in our daily lives.
Well, Father, thank you so much. We're going to leave it at that, and I really appreciate your time with
us this morning.
Thank you
for your time.
Thank
you. God bless you.
God bless you.